Welcome to Our Pod, and by that I mean on Wednesdays we read. I'm Hannah.
I'm Laura.
And we are two best friends who do a deep dive into a new book series, one book at a time. Right now it is, bum, 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 The Year of the Dresden. We are reading and finishing up the plot of the first book, Stormfront of the Dresden Files by Jim Butcher.
Jimothy?
May I call you Jimothy?
May I call you Jim? James? Jimothy? May I call you Jim?
Jimothy, please. Jimothy, this last
I tried
year...
that on someone recently, called them, their name is Jim, and I called them Jimothy, and the way that they looked at me was the best.
That is amazing.
They clearly do not watch The Office.
So my roommate often says, what's the situation? And I always go, your parents went away on a week's vacation.
I love that cold open.
It's my
so
favorite
much.
Cold open of all time. I sometimes watch it on YouTube to like for a little pick me up, and I cry
it's
laughing
great.
Over that cold open. It is the funniest cold open I've ever seen. Someone well, is on fire in Ramsett
someone
Park.
Someone is on fire in Ramsett Park. Oh my gosh. That's one of the funniest things I've like ever seen.
They left the brand new keys to the Porsche. Would they mind? Well, of course not.
Another really good cold
spin.
Open though. Like propaganda, but
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
The cold open where they're singing singing the Backstreet Boys song.
Yeah. Tell me
now
why.
Number five.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
And then she's like, that one. That's the one who killed my brother.
Oh my god, I forgot why we were here. I love that one. And also the why is Amy late bet that they did.
That one's really good too.
I forgot why we were here. Cold
I think
opens
the whole
are just
dancing
like very unique.
Is a cold open also.
Oh, is it?
Where he's like, I've got to defuse the situation. And then he's like, situation defused. And I'm like, the way that he answers that so robotically. I miss you so much, Andre.
Oh,
say
that.
So much. Oh, he was so great.
I just said something. I just was texting Veronica and I used the term Twitter painted. And she goes, what's that from? And I go, Bambi. And she goes, terrible ending. Or like, oh, what a sad moment. Or she goes, oh, what a sad moment. And I was like, wow, that is a like harsh like, jump. That was, we were also, I'm not going to spoil it because we just added it to my movie list of things that Paul has never seen. We have wasps out in our backyard. And we're trying to find the wasp's nest so we can, you know, get rid of the area. Mm-hmm. And I almost made a My Girl joke. And I was like, have you guys seen My Girl? And they both were like, no. Both
I've never
people
seen that
in my house. You've never seen My Girl?
I don't think so. What is My Girl?
It's Macaulay Culkin as Thomas J. And a young girl. I forget her name. Chomsky.
Sarah Chomsky? Oh, Anna Chomsky. I'm sorry.
Anna Chomsky. Yeah. Anna Chomsky. And it's like
from Veep. Yeah.
Yes. And it's a coming of age story about like an 11-year-old girl whose dad works and like he has them live in his mortuary.
So I definitely recognize this movie, but I have not seen it that I can recall.
Oh, so
it
good.
Might be a movie that I could watch and be like, oh, I think I recognize scenes from this. Because I feel like sometimes I have seen movies like or portions of them and I'm like, yeah, I feel like I walked through when someone had this on.
I've watched this movie so many times and the amount of people like and it, there's a My Girl and then there's a My Girl 2 where she's like all grown up, I guess, quote unquote. Hmm. And I used to watch those movies on freaking repeat. So you should watch it, but only if you're in the right mental headspace. So okay. AKA not this week for Hannah.
I guess not. That'll have to wait.
So I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, we should watch that tonight. And I was like, I would be sobbing on the couch. I am not okay today.
Nice thought, but
but it nope.
Unfortunately,
nope.
I'm in more of a Parks and Rec space. So
yeah. for other things you could be reading, watching, and or enjoying, Laura, what's going on with you?
Okay, so keep going with my Comey Can't Communicate journey.
Ooh.
I read a few more volumes, 9 through 10, or 8, 9, and 10 of Comey Can't Communicate. And 10, I think, was probably my favorite so far of this.
Ooh.
And It's because we're introducing like new characters to the series, and it's actually like kind of pushing the limits of like her communication disorder, and she's starting to grow and become a little more comfortable like reaching out to people and inviting people over to like spend time with her. And I really appreciated the way that it was like a new character who also had some insecurities and was a different type of character than the others in the series, where it wasn't always like someone who was super outgoing and very confident with themselves, who was just like, come on, we're doing this. And it's kind of nice to see that people with communication disorders can also have relationships with people who are very insecure about changes in their lives or their appearance or what have you, and be uncomfortable reaching out and making friends themselves. And so I thought that was really nice. However, this book is still on with the boob thing, and these are this series is still on with the boob thing. And for that reason alone, I had a major groan moment and was like, this was gonna be 4 stars, but I think it's back down to 3 because I'm so annoyed with these moments of with like over sexualizing these teenagers like that. And I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, I've rated almost all of these 3 stars, and I'm like, have I reached a point where I'm just like, there's not a ton of growth happening with the main character, and this is a really long series too. I think there's like 30 volumes or close to it, and I'm like, can I put up with this just not really developing much? Like, it took 10 volumes for there to be like a major, like, oh, something is happening here. Like, the friend group is kind of disrupted a little bit, and it's not the typical, like, this one always gets everybody all connected together because she's the outgoing one. And this one is the one they always are friends with. 5,000 people, and they've known everyone for the longest time, and he's the one that's always understanding. And it's like, okay, but now we've finally switched it up a little bit where it's a little more interesting. But at the same time, I'm just like, how many more volumes are we gonna have of just like this exact same thing now? And also just like that weird, like, undertones of the let's compare whose boobs were the best is just, I don't like that.
Do you think there's something to it? And like, obviously, it can still be problematic, but this is more just a general question. Do you think it's something where it's like typically these books aren't coming out as fast? So a lot of times, if you're coming back to it, like you're not, like a
I
lot of
don't
people
know the
typically
speed
aren't
which
binging.
these are coming out at. I think they come out, I would guess that the volumes come out at a slower pace, but the issues within them come out fairly regularly. So I don't know how quickly the volumes are coming out, but I feel like the issues have to come out at least on a regular basis because this is an ongoing series. But
I wasn't sure if it was like, well, if there's like any amount of gaps in time, then people aren't like binging it and reading it and reading it. They're like, oh, I'm coming back to these characters. So it's a little bit more palatable, even if it's still
And
problematic. I was just wondering.
I do enjoy the series. Like, obviously I've read 10 volumes. It's not like I hate it. And it's also just one of those like kind of slice of life. You like appreciate certain things about it, but at the same time, there are definitely problematic moments because, and like I say, the biggest thing with this is that bugs me is that this is a book about teenagers and we're rating their boobs and comparing the boobs, and then like in this one specifically there was like an overnight stay and they were like comparing the packages of the male characters, and I'm just like, I just feel uncomfortable with that that's a storyline in
Yeah, that's
this high
awkward.
school series. I don't know how I feel about that. That just seems not quite right to me because the characters are minors. So
That's fair.
I don't know. But I think I'm just gonna have to take a break from that for a while at the very least, if not a long, long break, just because yeah, not a lot's happening and I just don't like that being thrown in every now and then. It's just not
Not
comfy
fun.
with me.
Not
Not
fun.
comfy. But I also read another graphic novel. This was a middle grade graphic novel. You might have seen it. It came out recently. It's called Haru, Book One by
I think
Joe
I
Latham.
recognize that.
It's got like a cute little like pig on the cover with like a mushroom and a bird on its back.
Yeah, I recognize that.
Yeah, I think I've seen people talking about it on Instagram, but I recognized the cover when I was just like searching on Libby because well, I've been kind of like having a hard time getting reading in recently. And a lot of times just manga or graphic novels just to like read something in one sitting or like before I go to bed is just kind of mindless and easy for me, where it's just like I don't have to think a lot about what's happening or who's doing what right now. I can just like read this middle grade graphic novel and then go to bed. And this one was an interesting book. So this is the author's debut, and I will say I really appreciate the art style. Like this is the type of art I'm drawn to, where it's like very much like a watercolory, nature filled story. I really appreciated the animals, the mushrooms. I liked how the art style looked in this. And then a lot of like the bigger scenes that you see of like the mountains and the landscapes, those are really beautiful. The thing that was like weird about this book was that I felt like it couldn't make up its mind. Like, so the overall idea of the story I thought was okay. And it's like a fantasy story. And I also appreciated that, like, the main character is a non-binary protagonist.
Well,
Okay.
that's fun.
So that was good. But the story, I feel like the author wanted to touch on things that middle graders are going through, like bullying and identity and grief and some heavier topics that when they tried to incorporate them into also a fantasy story that starts off like in the beginning, darkness was doing this and the light was doing this. But then they didn't know how to like combine them in the right way because it almost felt like you were getting what I put in my review on Goodreads was the book seemed to oscillate between an epic fantasy story and a modern struggle of some friends who are bullied at school and struggle with grief. And I don't feel like these storylines had to be mutually exclusive, but they were. And the book was
Interesting.
confusing, especially if you followed the conversations between the characters, because the way that it was drawn, you could follow the story like, oh, they're traveling through here. But then, like, just suddenly they'd say something like, remember when that kid bullied me in school? That made me feel really bad. Or, I'm like, wait a minute. We were just talking about this journey that we're on. Where did this come from? This was just like so out of the blue. And the dialogue was just kind of, it seemed out of place at times and a little strange. And I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt that this is just something that maybe the author is going to kind of work on and kind of step into a little more in future volumes. So I think I'll continue with the series when the next volume comes out, especially because I did like the art and because I think the overall story is a good idea. But it's I think this is just kind of one of those things where sometimes authors trying to bring these themes in that they want to incorporate into their story do have trouble with it. And I guess I've never realized how difficult that can be and how some authors make it so seamless, but others really struggle, especially when they're trying to make a fantasy story with non-human characters who are trying to depict human struggles. And I think it was just a little bit of a too big of a swing for this story at the moment. But hopefully in future volumes, the author will kind of tie it up a little more, make it a little bit tighter, I guess, and kind
And I
of
mean,
make things mesh a little. And maybe they don't need to. There are probably other people that are like, this was great. And also it's intended for a young audience, and maybe these things need to be a little more separate for a younger audience.
that's always a good note, but it could also be a little bit of debut novel stuff or just all of
Yeah.
it and in between, so.
And that's why I'm trying to just like kind of say, you know what? I'm gonna give benefit of the doubt here. I'm gonna continue on and read the next one when it comes out. But this was a little confusing to read at times because just a little disjointed and a little I don't
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it was interesting. I think if you want to check out like a quick read and you want to look at something pretty, that would be worth it. But as far as like recommending the story itself, I can't say because it didn't click for me all the time.
Good to know.
And then another one, I don't think I ever mentioned this one. I don't know how I skipped this, but I did a buddy read with dear friend Passett. I
Ooh.
listened to Sweet Pea by CJ Skews,
Oh my gosh,
and
that's been like one of his
Passett
like
loves
major,
this
like,
book.
yeah, he does.
And it was pretty good. I
Oh, good.
rated it 4 stars. This is a story about a woman named Rhiannon, and Rhiannon is a serial killer. She is someone who I think is a really interesting study. We get, like, when I was listening to the book, we get her perspective in a different way that I feel like if you find it hard to connect with characters, this is maybe a book that if you can read books via audio, this is maybe a better format to try and connect with the main character more, because I felt like, and Passett and I talked about this, that if I would have read this book, like the physical or ebook edition, I do not feel like I would have connected at all or had any kind of empathy or sympathy for Rhiannon.
Yeah.
Because as a serial killer, she does a lot of terrible things. But when you get her perspective, get to be inside her own head and can hear that narrator using Rhiannon's voice, it does help you to kind of connect with her more. And
Okay.
as you get into the story, I'm not going to give away too much because if somebody wants to read this, I don't want to spoil it. But I do think that as you kind of get into the story a little, you are given information that humanizes Rhiannon, and you start to understand how she became the way she did. And I
Okay.
think it's also just like the way that we were talking about this, it was really just kind of an interesting discussion on what makes people the way they are, whether
Yeah.
that be nature versus nurture, and or if it's just, you know, some people just want to
Some
be
people
bad.
have that. Yeah.
You know,
Some people want to murder other
some
people.
people just want to be bad. And
Yeah.
so I think it was an interesting book if you are someone who likes to kind of dissect the motivations that people have in their lives. And I also will say that from the standpoint of someone who I'm someone who finds it like difficult to connect with people, and I like get frustrated with others. Rhiannon is also one of these people that is like this and has a hard time connecting with people, obviously, like sociopath, but it's still very relatable to read about some of the things that are happening to Rhiannon because she deals with like microaggressions and sexism and issues within different groups that she's in, whether that's at work or within friend groups. And she's treated poorly. And the way that she has to kind of mask or get herself out of situations is an interesting thing to read about as well.
Yeah.
And I think also relatable, not to the standpoint of like is going as far as she goes, but I think a lot of people can relate to being in situations like that, especially like at work. I noticed a lot of the things that like people were saying to her. I'm like, oh yeah, that is crappy that people are like that and
Right.
say things like that, like totally relatable, or you know, having frustrations just with random people that you interact with that will, as it says right on the cover, just call you Sweet Pea when
Yeah.
you don't know them, you don't need that kind of weird comment to be made, you know.
Yeah.
But very interesting character study, and I would recommend the audiobook if you're interested in this. I will say though, it does get pretty heavy with obviously it's a book about a murderer.
Right.
So Please look up content warnings to make sure that you're in an okay space to read this book. But I thought it was pretty good, and I would recommend it, honestly.
Good.
So, especially the audiobook.
Okay, good to know.
And then, as far as watching, I've been slowly watching Shogun with my husband.
Oh my gosh, we watched the first episode and then I fell asleep during the second one, and Paul's been dying to continue watching it, and I keep like not being able to watch the
My
next
husband slows me
episode.
down where he
Okay.
wants to watch it with me and he's like, don't watch it without me. And so a lot of times, like, he'll get home kind of late or something and I'm like, do you want to watch this? He's like, I'm kind of too tired to watch it. I'm like, okay, come on. But we've watched 4 episodes of it and it's a really good show. Really good and phenomenal acting. I would really like to cover it at some point for a TV Tuesday.
I'm sure
We're
we
just
will.
continually adding to our TV Tuesday list. Like, this list is out of control.
We need to just start doing this podcast full time and then we can do all of this
Yes,
stuff.
like,
But
and that it's real and then it's not just suggestions. But Shogun is a really good TV show. If anybody hasn't heard of it, I don't know how you haven't heard of it because everyone's talking about it. Really good. And I can't wait to finish it. So.
I can't
Kind of,
wait
that's
to
about all I've
start.
got, though. I've just kind of been rewatching things besides slowly making it through Shogun.
Fair enough. I mean, I really want to watch Shogun. I keep like not being in the mood to read subtitles. Like, I am a big multitasker, and this isn't to I believe in subtitled shows. I really like that they're having it subtitled. I really enjoy that. But sometimes it's hard when you're used to watching TV with a Nintendo Switch in your hand and you're a
I also am
multitasker.
someone who like has to be holding on to something, or like I'm often like scrolling on my phone or something as I'm quote unquote watching TV, and that is an issue. I need to be better about like focusing my attention fully on the thing that I'm doing. Unfortunately, at the moment, like there's not too many things where I'm like, especially if I'm sitting where I'm like completely focused in. I am very much somebody that's like, if I'm sitting down working, even I'm like listening to a podcast or an audiobook, there's always like multiple things happening. And like if I'm cooking, I'm also listening to a TV show or cleaning, there's a TV show or a podcast happening. Like there's very rarely not multiple things going on. And I am not somebody who just sits down and watches a TV show very often. But when I'm watching this with my husband, I figured out that the best way to do this, Hannah, is to eat while you are watching this show, because then my hands have food in them and I'm not tempted to scroll my phone. And then I do watch the subtitles and can follow along easily.
Well, that's good. I'm glad I will. I mean, we eat dinner, but I think usually we're like, oh, we're sitting down to dinner. We're focused on eating. Let's turn on Psych. And it's like, well, we could have,
We do that a lot, but this is a good show for us so far to watch while eating dinner. The people that are listening, there's going to be some people that are like, you're not supposed to watch
Okay.
TV while you eat dinner.
Who is saying that? Come on.
People
Who?
say
Like,
that all the time on social media, Hannah. Do not
oh
see this
my
kind of stuff where
gosh.
it's like people giving all of their life advice where they're just like, you need to sit down at the table to eat every single meal. And I'm like, you know what? I do for a lot of meals, but not every single meal, especially if I'm just like kind of wanting to zone out. I want to sit on the couch
No,
and
I don't.
watch
You know what?
TV while I'm eating.
It's not early 2000s anymore, people. Get over yourselves. We all are addicted to
For some
phones. We
reason, I
all
feel
are
like
addicted
people
to
think that
everything.
it's like
Like,
some indication of like health and wellness if you sit at the table and eat. I don't understand
I'm
it, but
sorry.
these things
I
are kind of
can't.
tied together when people are like, you need to wake up at 4 a.m. to work out for 2 hours before work, and then you also need to sit at the table for all of your meals. And I'm like, who has the time?
Here's the thing. I can't hear you over my bowl of veggie and bean stew that I mostly make because my fiance is vegan. Guess what? I will eat as many bowls of vegetables as I want to in front of a television. It's fine.
Hannah, I'm not disagreeing with you in front of a TV. I've just told you I did it. I'm just saying that
that's then people
I'm
need to
sure there are people that are
go
listening who are
touch
like, you only should really sit at the table when you eat.
go touch grass. My
is
table full
grass?
of other things. Yeah, what is grass? It's what you say that you go eat your dinner outside in grass then, I guess, if that's what you really want. Be
Isn't
one
that
with
interesting though,
nature.
how there are like so many like quote unquote things that quote unquote healthy things that have kind of like infiltrated certain spheres where people are like, you must do these things in order to live a long, healthy life. It's like, yeah,
And
but
it's
also
all
there's people who do
tied to
none of those
capitalism.
things and they live forever.
It's almost like we can't control how long we'll live. And we're all just in the same capitalistic hellscape where they push wellness on us and really mean thinness
You know
and
what's
spending
interesting?
lots of
This is
money.
gonna start a whole I'm gonna start a whole thing with this, but I had mentioned something about like feeling tired, and somebody said something to me about, well, you know, you should get up early and work out, that'll make you feel better. And I'm like, I don't have the time to get up early and work out. And I said, I don't think that people understand that the way that this is being pushed and the people that are pushing this are privileged people who can say that. Privileged people who either maybe have a job where they can like work from home or work late or arrive at work late, or they work, you know, or they're like people who are stay-at-home moms who can be more flexible with their schedules and can say, oh, yes, I got up at 4 in the morning, but also I don't have to be at work until such and such time, or I'm able to do this from this point to this point. And I'm like, that's very much a privileged stance to kind of put yourself on a pedestal and the schedule that you can hold on a pedestal and claim that it's for health and not recognize that it's actually a privilege that a lot of people don't have, because many people have to go to work at 4 a.m. or they maybe are just tired and can't do these things in the morning or whenever, you know, you're trying to fit them into your schedule because they have obligations and are kept down and need to make money. So, yeah,
No, agreed.
it's not just a matter, it I will also say like thinness is pushed by society, but it's also a matter of like people trying to claim that, you know, you're it's just 'cause you're not making the time. If you just made the time, it's like, okay, but people can make the time, but they still have to do all these other things, and then they will be sacrificing their health if they're adding additional things in here because then they're not getting enough sleep. Things have to, like, some people, there's not enough time in the day because unfortunately the world doesn't work in their favor and class issues
Well,
are
like,
real. So
yeah, that's very true. Nope, agreed.
I may have brought this up before. I can't remember now. It's all a blur to me at this point. Hannah, what have you been reading and watching?
So for reading, I recently finished the book Dazzling, by Shikadalee Emma Lamadu. Emma Lamadu. They are a Nigerian British author. And she it's a really strange book. So, it's heavily based on Nigerian folklore, and it's about two girls, both dealing with strife over like not having a parent in their life. And one of them is born into a family where she has to become one with like this leopard, which is this like being that's supposed to attack evil in the world. And like one member will become the leopard in their family, and she's the first female leopard. And so she has like a lot of struggles, and she's battling with this, like trying to accept herself or not letting the leopard take over herself, because you're supposed to be tethered to another human before you can become the leopard, or you're in danger of losing yourself. And so she has all this stuff going on. But then in the past, it's the story of this girl named Treasure who lost her father and is destitute and having a lot of problems with her mother. And she ends up making a deal with a spirit, and it's not a good deal. And it's like going back and forth between the two perspectives and kind of like a little bit of a mystery. It's a really slow burn. Like it was a really good novel. I gave it 4 stars, but it was really difficult to get through just because it's much slower paced and it is like a fantasy, and it does like a lot of the language is more like Nigerian based. So like coming out of the Igbo language and how people from Nigeria would speak. So you're just reading a different phrasing than you're used to, which isn't a problem. I really liked it, but it means like you're going to be taking this in more slowly. And sometimes I will say the book was a little bit confusing on what was happening when, but I think that that was also intentional. So I really enjoyed it. It just took me forever to get through. And I was sitting there like, I really want to be reading this so much faster so I can find out what happens. But also, I can only read like 10 pages at a time and then I'm tired. So it was a good slow burn and it was a good reminder to kind of slow down. And I don't have to finish a book within a week for it to be a good book. I can slowly like nibble off pieces and learn about it. So it's a very ambitious book. It was very good. Very interesting. So definitely recommend it. I wonder if the audiobook, I wonder if they have like two different voices. That would be really cool. And so, because they are two very different characters and they just have different feels to them. So I really enjoyed that part of it. And just kind of the look at like classism and, you know, and what it means to be, you know, suffering through the loss of a father, either through death or through other means. I thought that was really interesting. So yeah, overall good book. I had mentioned Thinness because I also read Aubrey Gordon's memoir.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's such a long title. I'm like, I know this title. And then I'm like, why would I know this title? It's a million miles long. What we don't talk about when we talk about fat. And so that one, I read her other book and I didn't love it. It just felt a little bit scattered. This one I liked a little bit more because it was more memoir than just like, here's this evidence-based thing. It was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. It's pretty short for a book. I listened to it via audiobook. I would say the one disappointing thing is she doesn't read it herself. Someone else reads
Oh,
this one.
which is surprising considering she's like a popular, excuse me, popular podcaster. I can't
I
speak.
know. So it was strange to like have her do that, but you know,
Yeah, that's a weird choice.
maybe she was too busy when it first came out, and I don't know. But so that was my only like, oh, that's a little sad. I would have preferred to hear it in her own voice, but I thought this one was much better. It fixed a lot of the issues I had with the other one. Like the other one felt like it almost wanted to be a memoir, but was trying to couch it in like factoids or like, oh, this is more of a scientific paper, but it felt more memoirish. This one was definitely memoirish with like fat liberation mixed in and just discussions of like what it means to be invested in fat liberation and like feminism, body positivity, those type of things. And I really enjoyed that. And so I thought it was really good. And it talked a lot about the things that like I know that I've struggled with or other people have struggled with when it comes to like being a fat person, where like the expectation is on you to always be happy if someone like wants to give you attention. And then you have to take whatever attention you can get. And that's like always a struggle. And that like being a fat person does not mean that you get to treat someone inhumanly on a plane because they take up more space, especially when plane seats are notoriously small. She talks about different experiences of like people asking to be moved or freaking out on her or shoving into her, and she's like sitting there getting bruised, and they think they have a right to touch her body because it's a fat
Oh my
body.
gosh.
Like, and it's because she's a woman who's over 300 pounds, you know, so she is a fat woman, and just the way we treat fat people and the things we think we have a right to say to them, it's pretty terrible and like makes me rethink some of the way I've lived my life because I know I've had harmful thoughts before. And just like we think it's okay to shame fat people because people think fatness is a choice. You could just lose weight or you could just count calories, you could do all this, and it's just not true. And like we don't build a world for fat people. We build a world mostly for straight-sized men. And then like fat people are told they're to blame for not fitting into that aspect, and that is a huge problem. So talking about how like fat people just deserve, and this is something I've like come to think about more and more as I get older, it's just like the way we tell people they don't deserve things because of something. Like, you don't deserve a living wage because you have a minimum wage job. You don't deserve a phone because you have a minimum wage job. Just like so many things we tell people or we shame like people in our heads for, when it's like there's dignity in every job, there's dignity in every body size, and to treat it otherwise. And like there's dignity in like any capability that any human has. And when we treat people like they're less than, it just like boggles my mind how you can't treat someone with like the basic decency level. And this book made me think a lot about that, with just how she's treated and kind of what she reflects on. And I obviously love her podcast. I think Maintenance Base, one of the most amazing podcasts in the world, honestly. And like she says stuff that still challenges me, but it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, good. Like actively unlisten, you know, or unlearn this stuff. And like I talked about it. I've talked about it with friends recently. Like I'm someone who grew up in a home with a lot of like fat people. And I literally had to retrain myself how to eat because there was so much shame involved with eating. Like it used to be like, well, you eat half the pan of brownies because you know you're not supposed to eat the brownies. So obviously you're a terrible person if you eat those. So then you have to binge because you're so ashamed. And that was most of my childhood. And then it was just me running like 5 miles a day to like make sure that eating half a pan of brownies was okay. And then later in life, I had to be like, you know what? It's okay to eat a serving size of anything, Hannah. And I had to like actually actively unlearn how I ate and what I thought was good or not because of like the connotations of the way, you know, my life was affected by the societal norms around me, around fat people. And that's like, my mom was a fat person. She dieted her entire life. It wore on her body, and that's rough. So it made me think a lot about that stuff. So a great book. Very much enjoyed, made me think a lot of different things. So yeah. And then for watching, I started watching Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh, yay. The cartoon or the live action?
the cartoon. I've never seen the cartoon, so I'm watching it for the first time.
That's one of my childhood faves.
I've never seen, I mean, I remember that like I used to watch maybe 5 minutes of it when one of my sisters was babysitting this like these two kids. And I remember like it would go from like Charmed and then we would change the channel over to Avatar The Last Airbender, but I was like, ew, boy show, and I left the room. So I barely ever watched it.
You and the boy things that you're just like, no, boy book, no, boy
I
show.
told you my house was supremely about women. I was raised in the like, this is a female household and all things female reign supreme. And
That's
it
so
lent
funny to me
itself.
though, because I don't know why I never like considered this to be a boy show. I was just like,
Oh, I'm sure it wasn't. It was
it's
just like to
amazing.
me, I'm like, well, boys watch that show, so boy show. And I prefer to watch other better shows like the Winx Saga.
Don't get me started because I think this is probably so much better than Saga.
But it's a cute show. I mean, it's a little kid show, so you're watching it with adult eyes, but it is very sweet and very cute. So, and a little bit like, I mean, it's a kid show, but the beginning is dark. Like, that is dark.
Do handle a lot of
I
dark
know.
things,
I know.
so.
Yeah, I know. You're not wrong. So, oh, and I forgot to mention, guys, famously, one of the most important authors in Hannah's life just published a new book.
Oh yes, the owner creator of NetGalley,
The
Emily
owner and
Henry.
creator of NetGalley, Emily
If you
Henry.
are on Bookstagram and you didn't know that Emily Henry released a book and that Taylor Swift released an album in the same week, I think, where have you been?
AKA, also the weekend before Indie Bookstore Day. So it really was
Oh
a white
yeah,
woman.
that's true. It was like White Woman Paradise
It was
on
White Woman
Instagram.
Paradise on the internet this week. So,
It made me want to shut down all my socials. I've seen so many posts. I'm like, no.
I'm very sorry because I was one of them, and I definitely had a Taylor Swift song in the
A
background
Taylor
of
Swift
the
song?
post I
Oh
had.
no. About Emily Henry?
I had
Oh
"Are You
my
Ready
God.
for It?" But not one of her new songs. I listened to the
Okay.
album once, and I couldn't tell
I haven't
you.
listened to it at all. I feel like I'm being rebellious.
Here's the thing: I opened up my incognito tab on YouTube, and I streamed it on there, so it wouldn't know who listened.
Incognito doesn't protect you.
Well, the incognito doesn't protect me from like cash stuff, but it does
I'm
protect
just
my.
saying that because that's what everybody's always saying all the time now is
Oh,
incognito
no.
doesn't protect you.
I turned it on so at least wouldn't pop up on my like signed in stuff. I was like, usually
Sure.
it'll keep it away. But I listened to the entire album and it is just beige. I mean, it's like great brown sound for your work day because you
Okay,
can turn
like
it on and like,
ASMR-ish.
yeah, it's Taylor Swift's new album is very ASMR-ish, in my opinion. Guys, I understand if you love her. She's not my favorite. And guess what? Me not liking her all that much does nothing to Taylor Swift's fame.
Also, she doesn't
So
care, so.
yeah, she's fine. It was just very beige music, in my opinion. That's like the joke that we talked about for the Madame Web movie where it's Sydney Sweeney and what's her face? And it's like that's just such beige acting all in one film. Like
Dakota Johnson.
Dakota Johnson. Why you can't have that many beige actresses in the same roles? Like
Yes. Dakota
I
Johnson. It's
still think
me,
of
Dakota
it's
Johnson.
just me, Dakota Johnson. Although I do think about her attacking her neighbor for calling the cops on her car once.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, she was talking. She lives close to Jimmy, not Jimmy
Kimmel.
Fallon, but the other Jimmy
Kimmel.
Kimmel. Yeah, and they were
You are
hanging
a Jimmy
out.
Kimmel stan.
I do like Jimmy Kimmel. And Jimmy Kimmel and her were at an event, and their other neighbor walked up, and they were like, "Neighbor reunion." And Dakota Johnson goes, "Did you call the cops on my grandfather's car?" And Jimmy Kimmel was like, and it became very clear that yes, that happened.
That's funny.
And she was like, "Well, they were making such a big deal about this like antique truck that was on my yard, and that's my business, not yours." And I'm like, between that and the Ellen, Dakota Johnson, very beige acting, very confrontational person. You're not
Willing to call people
gonna
out. I was going to mention the
willing,
Ellen thing
yeah.
because that's one of my favorite things that I've seen is her saying,
So,
Ellen, I
yeah.
did invite you, but I did.
Look
You
up the
didn't
Jimmy
come.
Kimmel clip. Laura, because you're gonna have a great day that day.
Oh,
So,
good. Good.
but yes, I listened to owner and operator of Deck Ellie, or I didn't listen. I read Emily Henry's new book, Funny Story, and Funny Story, top three of my favorite books of hers. So it
Top
soared
three
right
books ever or of hers?
of hers. So
So, what's
I.
your Beatrice still number one?
Betrayed is number one because it can't be taken down. And honestly,
Okay.
I don't know. I think Book Lovers and Funny Story are battling it out for number two
Really?
spot, and I don't know which one to pick. I think I have to mull on it a little bit more.
Hmm.
And then I believe it goes Happy Place and then the Friends We
People
Meet
Leave Me
on
In.
Vacation. Yeah,
People Leave Me In
because
on Vacation.
that one doesn't make sense because it's not about people that you meet on vacation. They're literally best friends and they take vacations together. That's not accurate. But I really like this story. It is very fun. It is about, I do even know what it is about, Laura.
No. Much like Taylor Swift, I have kind of not pursued any information on this book.
No, that's very fair. So it's about a woman who is engaged to be married, and 6 weeks before her wedding, her fiance leaves her for his best friend,
Okay.
and leaves her pretty much homeless. So she moves in with the fiance's best friend's ex. Like the fiance and the best friend left their respective partners and now they
So
live
they have
together.
swapped partners, basically.
Yes. And their forced proximity. And the beginning, I laughed out loud because I was like, man, I'm going to ruin the beginning of this, but it is very
Okay.
funny. Skip a minute if you don't want the beginning of Funny Story to be ruined. But there's a moment where she hears the song All By Myself playing in the next room. And I'm like, wow, what a ripoff of Bridget Jones's Diary, Emily Henry. Like, you're losing some material.
Then
And then
she mentions Bridget Jones's diary.
she goes and she knocks on his door and she goes, are you watching Bridget Jones's Diary? And he goes, yeah, it's a great movie. And she goes, but this song has been playing for like the last 8 minutes. How many times have you rewatched it? And that made me laugh because that is the humor that I enjoy. But honestly, great book, lighthearted, super cute, works well. And I really liked this character. She's someone who like has trouble making friends and she like moved to this area to be with her fiance and now she's all alone and she's just trying to like figure out her way in the world. And it was just really cute. I really enjoyed it. I thought it
Yeah.
was really nice. So that's
I
my
will say that
thoughts.
Emily Henry does have a very like cinematic writing style, which is probably why her books are being adapted, like all of
Yeah.
them. But I know just reading Beach Read, I like initially just the first couple chapters is like, no wonder Hannah loves this. This is like total rom-com, just reading the script from a rom-com movie. I picture the whole thing.
Yep. Exactly. I reread portions of Beach Read sometimes because they're so cinematic and so amazing and they just like sit in my brain.
That's great to have a favorite book like that that you can revisit and just love on all the time.
I know. I love a good rom-com. That was Laura and I were talking on our Discord, hashtag join our Discord. And she was talking about movies where she was like, well, we all thought we liked those, but did we? And I was like, I honestly did.
I'm not sure still. I don't know.
You totally get to be someone who is like, no, I was just along for the bit. But me as a
I think
person, I'm like, no, here's the thing. I did genuinely love rom-coms growing up. But again, I was raised in that feminist household where women things were supreme. So you loved a good rom-com.
I really feel like I was just someone, especially when I was in high school, who was trying hard to like kind of like I didn't have a lot of friends or any friends, and you know, if I would get invited over to somebody's house or something, like that was a huge deal. And I feel like it was very much one of those things where like if you were invited over to somebody's house and they were watching whatever movie it may be, you're like, I also love this movie. It's great. It's awesome. And I'm like, I'm not sure if I actually did like these things or not. Like I in high school I was very much like all worried about like, why don't I have a boyfriend? I don't understand why people don't
I
like
mean,
me, why I don't have
yeah, I did
friends
have that
and
problem too.
why I don't have a boyfriend. And so I think the wanting a boyfriend thing, I can see why I would be drawn to rom-coms, because the weird nerdy girl who, quote unquote nerdy
Who
girl,
just falls all over herself at all
is
times.
yeah, is always somebody who finds love with the super hunky guy. But at the same time, I also was just very much a nerd and very much like really into animals and stuff like that. And we had Animal Planet. I watched a lot of Animal Planet. I watched a lot of animal documentaries, and I really feel like that is my true
That's fair.
calling. I don't know.
And I'm glad you have that. I will stick with my How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days supremeness. But it means I'm a huge fan of Emily Henry. I'm a
Yes.
stan. I can't help it. Can't be helped. Great book. So good. Everyone go read it because
I
I
should pick up
adored
some
it.
others of hers because I thought Beach Read was great, and then Happy Place.
Happy place to hit you in a very wrong way.
Yeah, wasn't big on that one.
But Book Lovers is really good. I really love Book Lovers. People We Meet on Vacation is fine. Lots of people love it. Not for me, but you might love it. I think that that also helps. Like a lot of people will love like three of her books a lot, and then one will just not be it, and that's
Well,
also
that's also kind of
okay.
nice too, where she's an author that is kind of got a lot of different like tropes and stuff going on that can appeal to many readers. So,
Exactly. So
cool.
yeah, but you
I
know,
will say
all
though,
over the
like when I
place.
was reading Beach Read, I may have mentioned this to you before when I talked about Beach Read. Did you picture Emily Henry as the main character?
No. But I do all now that you mention it, I never picture Emily Henry, but they're always blonde. And when I look at the cover and it's a brunette, I'm like, you're
Yes,
blonde.
that also threw me off. That also threw me off,
Like...
but for some reason I had seen Emily Henry's pictures somewhere, probably. And I don't know why when I was reading Beach Read that I just always pictured Emily Henry as the main character in Beach Read.
That's very fair. I could see it because I pictured her as a blonde. I always think her main
So
characters
I
are
kind
blonde.
of I don't know if the people right who are doing the adaptation have considered this, but maybe Emily Henry should star in
Maybe
it
she's an
because
actress.
because that would fit what's going on in my brain.
Fair enough. All right. Should we dive in to the final section of Jim Butcher?
Yes. Hannah, not a
Guys,
lot
stuff
happens.
happens. Stuff happens, not much. And then at the end, he gives you a roundup of the ending of the
Okay,
novel.
here's the thing. When we're reading this, do you think that this book would be more enjoyable if we were kind of like thinking about this from more of like a this is an 80s movie standpoint where it's like record scratch
Yeah, the record scratch would be helpful.
and then Harry Dresden like says over the top like the problem here is I knew that he was gonna try and throw some black magic and demons at me. But
That
like
would work very
or
well.
like at the end when he's like going through like well and then this person did this and me well I'm still up to my regular shenanigans
That is
being
how
me
this ends. It's literally
Harry
how it
Blackstone
ends.
Copperfield Dresden. I know
That's how
that's why I'm
it
mentioning it.
ends.
That's why I'm saying would this book be more fun if we pretended that it was all like just kind of an 80s movie type
Maybe
like
we've just
Ferris
been reading it
Bueller
in the
type.
wrong. Yeah. Because no, you're not wrong. You're 1,000% right. Because at the end of it, I was like, wait, that's how it ends? With a little like Ferris
Yes.
Bueller, and that's the rest of the story. Signing off. Harry
Yes.
Copperphone. Copperphone.
Copperfield. Harry
Copperton. Harry Copperton
Blackfield.
Blackstone.
Copperstone. Copperfield Dresden. Like the way that I was so annoyed with those like thoughts where he's like kind of cuts away and has a thought to about the situation, you know. And then I was like, you know what? I should have been reading this all with more of a lighthearted, this is an 80s movie. This is Ferris Bueller because it's like, it would have been a lot funnier, honestly.
I mean, I guess I did read it
The
a
book is
little bit with
still
the
a
like,
romp.
yeah, it's a romp. It's a fun romp. Like, I didn't give this like 1 star. I gave it 3 stars,
No, we
guys.
didn't give it 1 star, we gave it 0. But just kidding.
Okay. Well,
Just kidding.
honestly, so we do have to at least tell you guys what happened because that
Okay,
is the premise
go
of our podcast.
I'm
So,
sorry,
Harry,
I'm
as if you
derailing
remember
things.
where we left on Dresden Files, Harry was at the low point,
He
literally.
was talking
He
about
says
his
it.
dad.
Yes, he's talking about his dad. His dad was a magician. But
His dad
did I ever
never showed him even like a simple card trick.
tell you my dad was a magician? No, Harry. So anyway,
If
someone's
dad would
coming.
have been around to just teach me a couple things, I might have known how to get out of these sticky situations.
His dad is a magician, and he's laying on a dead woman's floor for a murder he is probably wanted for, and he's just laying in his own DNA, putting it everywhere.
This is very much like the arc of the story where it's just like him walking around Chicago in the the fog and just like the thing was my dad passed away and he was also a magician. But I never learned a damn thing from him.
There's fog rolling in underneath the door of Linda's
Yes.
bedroom.
Yes.
The slut act. So anyway,
Why the slot act?
also we left and I was like, oh, I haven't really been reading ahead. I don't know what happens next, but I'm like, but all of a sudden the door opens and it's the most anticlimactic moment
Oh,
where it's like,
gosh.
guess who's on the other side of the door? Nobody who's important. A little bit of a plot guy who's telling you what's what, and is he important to the story? No,
No.
because it is just the photographer who took pictures
Yes.
at the lake house, who
And
he
he's
just
scared to death.
he's scared to death. He wanted to get the film reel though, so he could maybe blackmail people, question mark. And Harry is like, tell me everything you know. And he's like, I know nothing. Linda hired me to get blackmail photos. I did. She took the canisters. She's dead now. I came here for them. And Harry's like, well, I'm gonna burn these to a crisp so you can't use them. And the guy was like, oh, and runs out of the room. That's all he does. That's all he does. And so then Harry is like, you know who I gotta go talk to? The woman who knows all, Monica Sells. And so he goes to talk to the woman who hired him about her husband who's been missing. Monica is the woman whose husband's been missing for
Yes.
everyone
She's the
who is
one
not
that
reading these
hired him
books. Yes.
and
And
then fired him mysteriously.
he knocks on the door. She's like, I'm gonna call the police. And he's like, no, you're not. You're gonna tell me everything you know. Because Harry Dresden is serious. And
Harry doesn't take no for an answer.
ew. And so she admits to him that her husband has gotten into real bad magic, and he's the one who's distributing third eye, Deus Machina third eye.
Just say though, this whole section, like describing how he became bad, was so weird, and where they were both just like, he's it's the power. He's obsessed with the
But she's also like, he was okay for a while, but also not great. And also now he's abusive. And
And now I'm
also,
protecting the kids, and
yeah.
I'm like,
So yeah,
My
she's protecting the
gosh.
kids. We find out that her sister is one of the murder victims,
Yes.
and
And he's so obsessed with power that he's pretty much willing to like subject his wife to abuse and be like, ha 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 ha. And it's like, okay,
well,
that's
and
uncomfortable.
so she, we also find out that like her husband has been feeding on power and power and power,
Yes.
and
And
so
then
he
lust. He
figures out
finds
that
out.
lust is a good motivator, such as like
Yes.
pain, lust, those types of things really get those power juices flowing. Gross, but that's what's
Yeah.
happening. So he has orgies in the middle of their lake house, with the windows wide open so that the photographer could take photos,
Right.
security much. And he was bringing, he found out that his wife's sister was a sex worker. And so
And the way
he,
that they this make that into such a shameful thing is
it's
annoying to me
so,
as
it's
well.
well, because like he's literally abusing his wife, and then he forces his wife into orgies, and then forces her sister, who's a sex worker, into his orgies. And again, like sex work is real work, and a lot of sex workers wouldn't want to sleep with their brother-in-law. But the
Right.
implication is like, oh, she's okay with that, so she's okay with anything as long as the money is good.
Right. But also the
Excuse
way
you?
that like Dresden has previously frowned upon and been so like, oh, I feel so bad for you for towards sex workers. And
Yeah.
then again, kind of like when you hear this type of story, I'm like, great, another weird take on this.
It's very weird takes on this entire thing. So we also find out that like he has the Becketts working with him with the third eye,
Yes.
who are the employers of Linda the chauffeur slut,
Yes.
and they've been part of the orgies
slut.
because their child was killed by a stray bullet from Marconi, and they want to bring Marconi down. So they've been
Which,
trying to
what
get
a bizarre way to go about that.
you wouldn't want to use your vendetta with orgies, Laura.
I mean, that's not the plan I would have come up with, but I guess this is
So
solid.
it's
I
so
don't
wild.
know.
But also then like Linda was like, I'm out of that game, but then goes to the people who she's had orgies with to be their
Yes.
chauffeur. You're literally not out of the game
You're
then. You're
still
being
in it.
employed by the game. It's a wild swing to make these
Right.
stories connect. But I was just like, this doesn't make sense. I don't understand what's going on. Okay. And so then she finds out that like Harry does tell Monica that her husband Victor has a sprig of his hair, and she's like, you need to leave now. There's a
He's like, I just
storm
want my
running
hair
in.
back.
And she's like, but he will use that to murder you. And he's like,
He's
that's
like, I want
not
my
great.
luscious locks back.
And she he but he doesn't want to bring harm to her because he's such a good guy. So he's like, fine, I'm leaving, but you should get out while you still can. And then he goes and he has a very inappropriate conversation with her daughter,
Yes.
Jenny. He, well, A, she named Jenny after her sister, Jennifer, who her husband has orgies with. So weird
I
vibe.
too many things happening here.
Too many things happening. But then the little girl's like, are you gonna murder my dad?
And
And
he says,
Harry's like,
I don't want to, but
maybe.
I'm probably going to. Why you say that?
Just say like, go talk to your mom, honey. Like, don't talk to
Or
her.
just lie.
Don't.
You don't have to
No,
say,
I'd
I'm
still opt
probably going
aside
to.
of Harry just not speaking to children. I think you should
I
not
mean,
speak to
here's the
children.
thing. I don't know if he should speak to very many people at all.
But he's hairdressed, and his dad used to be a magician.
His dad didn't teach him a lot of things, we learned.
So he like tells this little girl that she's gonna go murder her dad, and then he hightails it out of the
Weirdo. I'll be back. I
house.
might have to go kill your dad, though.
This is like this Tim McGraw stupid Flicka movie where the girl's
Jim
like, are you
Butcher,
gonna
why?
it's like, I'm sorry, there is that Flicka movie, I will bring him up again, where Tim McGraw is about to go murder Flicka. The girl's at the top of the stairs and she goes, "Are you gonna kill us, Dad?" Imagine if Tim McGraw turned around and goes, "Well, I don't want to,
Maybe.
but yes, but maybe." Like,
Maybe.
and that was over a horse, not a dad.
Can Tim McGraw be Harry Besser in the new adaptation?
Yes, Tim McGraw could play 24.
They would try. They put
So
that man through a lot in his acting.
they did put that man through a lot in his acting. Anyone just go look up Tim McGraw's IMDb. Wild ride.
Oh,
Wild ride.
what? What? Okay. That's a whole nother episode.
Country Strong. I think about that movie. That is my Roman Empire. I think about Country Strong at least once a week.
Oh my gosh. I totally forgot about that movie.
I can't. I could
Oh my
never.
gosh.
What a
Oh.
weird, wild swing that movie was. Oh my
It was
gosh.
terrible.
Okay. No, that movie was bad.
Oh.
So anyway, back to Harry. He's murdering fathers in here.
He might
So
be.
he leaves and he's like, "Oh my gosh, I have a little scorpion scabbard from Victor that I could use to like put my magic against him and really just like kick the shit out of him." But then he like calls Murphy's office to tell her what's going on and admit all this stuff and tell her to like watch out for Monica Sells. And Murphy's
Murphy's at
coworker
his
answers the
office.
phone and he's like, "I can't hear you, Ben, but she's over at Dresden's office." And it's like, how is this ever a conversation that
Oh my
happens?
gosh.
And so
Here's the
Dresden
thing,
is
Hannah.
like,
This is all a cautionary tale because a cautionary tale to women to always listen to Harry Dresden, or else bad things will happen to you because that's what happens to Karen Murphy.
also,
She
Murphy
doesn't listen
just
to Harry Dresden, and
goes
then
off
something
the
bad happens.
also she goes off the deep end where she like throws out everything she could possibly ever know and just becomes a hysterical person in the scene where Harry calls her and he's like, "Hey, there's something dangerous. Please do not open
Don't go
it."
in my desk. And she's like, I am going through this desk.
And she opens it and then she is attacked by a scorpion because the
A scorpion
scorpion went
demon.
live. And he like goes to rush in to save her and she's literally injured and then
And
she's like
blinded.
and blinded and she still is hysterically trying to arrest Harry Dresden.
I will say, this is kind of a terrifying thing to listen to in the audiobook because the way that he reads it, like, reads her saying, like, Harry, I can't see.
Oh
I
gosh.
can't. It's harrowing to listen to that because some of our listeners have pointed out in Discord the audio quality of the audiobook, not great. But
Okay.
the portrayal of this section, I was like, oh, this, I do not like what's happening to Karen Murphy right now. This is scary.
It's wild. And she's sitting there just like screaming at him, trying to like arrest him as he's trying to save her. And I'm like, what is going on? So Harry does
Well,
end
she's
up
like
destroying.
freaking out because she's like, "What? You're in trouble, Justin." Because I think she thinks at this point that he has purposely planted this to get her.
Yes. But like, she's also incredibly injured. And it boggles my mind the way that he has her like still
Yes.
trying to like actively try to go through this. And I'm like, she needs to take care of herself and like take a step back before she can try to do what she's doing. And
And he's
because
like,
we're in
"Don't worry,
Harry,
Karen.
and
I
because
help
we're in
all women."
Harry Dresden's like brain, he's like, "Man, she's acting so ridiculous." And it's like, nope, she's not. But like the way you're portraying her is ridiculous.
I
It's
will
very
say
confusing.
though, I will say though, like, I do understand why she starts to, like, even if she's injured and blind, why she starts to, like, assume and kind of freak out because that is a freaky situation.
Yeah.
Why she starts to assume, like, oh, Harry is the bad guy because
No, it
obviously.
makes sense in
Oh,
her
okay.
brain. Like, I
Yeah.
do think it makes sense for her, but I don't think
Yeah.
any of her actions
Leading up
make
to that
sense.
point.
Like, it feels like she gets thrown in as like her own plot for a plot device for like to show
Absolutely.
off how great Harry is. But then during it, she's
Oh
acting
my
like
gosh. The true theme of this book. Harry
Harry is
is so
amazing.
great.
And she's just sitting there like, "I'm gonna get you, da 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 da." And it's just like, what? Yeah, it's normal for her to want to arrest him, but during a crisis where there's something coming after her, like she would have the wherewithal to try to attack what's trying to attack her. Like, and
Yes.
it feels like she's just like, I'm the law and I'll put a handcuff on you and
Yes.
then you're arrested. And it's like, she's a smart human. All we've been told is she's a fighter, she's capable. And like, yes, she is blind, but like, she wouldn't be acting like this, where she's like, all I have to do is say something and then it's true. But anyway, Harry ends up killing the scorpion. He saves her, gets the EMT there. He's like, you can't help me because I have to go off with the big bad. He has my hair. And he leaves
Well,
the
and then he's
scene.
saying like ridiculous. He was saying like ridiculous things to the end. Oh no, this is not that point yet. Not that point yet. Never mind.
Okay. And so he is talking to the EMT a little bit about like, well, you're bleeding, you need help. And he's like, nope, can't be helped, can't be helped. And so he runs and he realizes he doesn't have a car. So he goes to the bar that he hangs out with to ask for McNally's car. And McNally does give it to him. But then all of a
This
sudden,
is the moment he
Morgan.
realized that this is like a safe haven for all these magical beings too. He's like looking around and he's like, "Oh my gosh.
Everyone's
Wow."
here to stay safe. Isn't this
And
wonderful?
they're all afraid of me.
Well, then Morgan comes in, and Morgan's like, I know you created the scorpion, and you are trying to attack everyone, and you're a bad guy.
Not gonna lie, it
And
doesn't look good for Harry at this point.
then Harry just hits Morgan with a chair, which I did
Which,
laugh
what an
at.
idiot. And then he said, he even says, he's like, I can admit that this doesn't look good with all these people around seeing me hit a member of the White Council that they know is my probation officer who has a lot of pull. And I won't be able to rebuke this because, I won't be able to meet up with everybody in the morning because it'll take them quite a while to get there. Like, oh, good Lord.
And so anyway, he knocks him out. Mac is like, I got you covered, Harry. Because this is the book where they're like, you want to know who deserves everyone on their side? Harry. He deserves that. And so he
Harry deserves the
leaves.
best.
He talks a lot about Mac's car and how much better it is than his car. And he goes out to the lake
The
house.
Beetle? It's better than the Beetle? What?
And Victor's doing some magic. He's ready to kill Harry.
Victor is a little
Him.
too over the top villainous for me.
Okay, he's so over the top villainous. And Harry walks in, and Jim Butcher has told us that they have orgies. And
Yes.
then he just says, there are two naked people over there. And he doesn't say that they're
The
having the Becketts, but he goes, the two Becketts are naked in the corner. And I was like, Jim Butcher, we know what they're doing. You could say it
Beckets.
out loud. The way he said it, it sounded like they were just like sitting over in a corner naked, like hanging out. I'm like,
Just
well,
standing there.
they're obviously not doing that. You said that it has to
We're
be
just waiting.
lustful.
Go ahead,
We're just waiting.
finish what
You
you're talking about. We're just waiting for him.
just do what you're doing. We're gonna get sit over here
Don't
naked
worry
and just
about
like
us.
chill. It was very bizarre where I was like, but you could say they're having sex in the corner. We know what they're doing.
Right.
Also, I think you are right, Laura. Weird way to get your vendetta.
Just finally getting to this weird
Well,
way.
it's such a weird section where he's like, they're listening to the same music I heard the other night. And it's like,
I would
oh,
say
so
there's a
that was
lot
a
of like
plot point.
added details in this that I'm like, that was a strange mention because I think
I
even when he goes to
know.
visit Monica at her house, doesn't her house have like a bunch of cow decor or something like that that he mentions?
Yeah.
Like she looked over at the cow tails swinging from the clock, and I'm like, this is a
Well, and
weird
so then he like Harry
decoration
tries to
choice.
be Quippy McQuipperson with Victor, and Victor is like, I'm a bad guy.
So this was one of my least favorite things because there's very much like a type of hero, quote unquote, that people resonate with and absolutely love, who eggs on the villain and is all like, I'm sarcastic and y'all love me. And it's like, no, you're being annoying as heck. Shut up and handle this situation seriously.
Hit him with a chair. You've already done it once tonight.
You being a D-bag is not
Well,
preferred.
and then we find out Victor has like one trick and it's just making many scorpions, which I
Yes.
do find funny to be like,
Why?
you know what
Why
my
is
power
that the
is?
only thing?
Scorpions.
Scorpions.
And I love how much magic it takes because he goes, Scorpus,
Wait,
Scorpus.
doesn't he say something like it was some kind of ancient language, Babylonian, or who knows what? It doesn't matter.
I'm pretty sure it's Latin for scorpion, as in Scorpius, Scorpius,
I'm
Scorpius.
almost positive though that he's like, it's some kind of ancient language. It doesn't matter. Teacher's like, oh, come on.
So funny. Scorpus, Scorpus, Scorpus. And then I will say they always have them screaming things in threes, because at one point
Yes.
Harry Dresden is like, Politus, Politus, Politus. And it's like, why are you guys just shouting in threes? Is that like a magic
Well,
number?
because they're trying to summon this demon.
Right. And so Victor tries
And
to kill
this is a
Harry
weird
with.
moment, too.
He tries to kill Harry with scorpions. It doesn't work. The
No.
Becketts flee because all of a sudden everything is on fire.
And they're
And
like, oops,
then
we're naked, too. This is bad.
this is really bad when things are on fire. We are naked in a corner. We
We are
should
completely
leave.
exposed.
And so then Victor summons the toad demon to kill Harry. But in doing
But
so,
the demon cannot decide who he wants to side
well,
with because he's
because
like, I don't
Victor
know.
isn't.
Harry looks pretty powerful too.
Well, Harry is like, you're not a trained wizard, so you do not understand that if you just say a demon's name out loud, I could call him over to me, and then he's on my side. And then the toad
Which
demon's
this
like,
was like super plot holy. Like, come on.
I don't. It was very strange. And so Harry is also like still
I
clinging
didn't buy the
on.
whole like this villain is so incapable of knowing about things that he wouldn't have thought. I don't know.
Well, and then they're having this final showdown. The demon is confused, and
Yes, because he's
Harry
like, I think I might work for
decides,
Harry.
and Harry goes, I'm gonna tell you, Victor, who sold you out to me. It was your wife, because you want to know what? Harry is a feminist.
Here's the thing. As this is happening, I'm like, you're an idiot. You know she's a victim. What are
I
you
know.
thinking? Why you know?
He's treating her like he would treat any other man, and that is feminism, Laura.
That is his right.
And so anyway, he, like, Victor could still get away. He doesn't, and he falls to his death pretty much. Harry is saved by Murphy's handcuff, Deus handcuff, and he is like, man, I saw Morgan standing there looking at me, realizing that he had been wrong all along.
Suck it, Morgan. But
And then,
then
like,
Morgan gives
Harry,
him CPR and like brings it back to life.
yeah. And
And
he's like,
to
hey,
which
you're,
he says, ew.
yeah. He says, ew to CPR, because no homo.
He's not like kissing you. He's trying to save your life.
Well, and then he's like, wow, you were not the bad guy all along, but I still think you're a bad guy. I'm a
First,
bad
Harry
guy, but
says
that
to
doesn't
him,
make
like,
me a
I can't
bad
believe you
guy.
saved me. And he's like, I actually do care about people. And now I know that you're not the big bad, but you're still terrible, Justin.
Can I tell you that when I was reading this, Harry Dresden at one point goes, give me a gallon of Listerine and I'll be all right. And I didn't.
What?
I didn't connect that he was discussing about the CPR and the ew. I didn't realize it was about the no homo section. And I
Oh,
was
that's definitely what it's for.
no, I know that now. When I was reading it, Laura, I was so confused. I was like, why would he need Listerine? So that's Hannah's fault. And then all of a
But
sudden
that
he's
joke
like,
doesn't land well, honestly.
no,
It
it's a bad
just
joke.
doesn't.
It was totally, it was, it happened like a page after he said ew. And I'm like, you can't have it happen that
No. Yeah,
long.
like.
Like, we've read a whole page. No, thank you.
And
So
again,
anyway,
it's
he,
very much just like Harry's so annoying at this point because I'm already annoyed with him for trying to egg on the mega villain. And
right?
then when he's being super sarcastic and like, I need a gallon of Listerine to get Morgan's taste out of my mouth for money with smooching on me. And it's like, that is not what happened.
But
Morgan, you should have
anyway,
left him.
he is like, well, the police arrived. And then all of a sudden it just goes to like closing credits, Harry over the like announcement being like,
It's like Harry's walking off into the distance,
yeah,
and
it is
you
the.
hear him talking about all the women. Here's the thing, he's thinking about all the women at this point.
Yeah.
He's thinking about the women that died, thinking about his mom. He's thinking
Well,
about Karen Murphy. He dropped off
it's
some
so
flowers to
weird
her because
because
he's a nice guy.
he was like, well, the Becketts were arrested that night naked. And then he's like, They were implicated in the three-eyed drug ring and prosecuted on distribution charges. Weird poll. I don't know why we have to say that. Just as well for that, they're in the Michigan justice system. They wouldn't have come out of a cell alive if they'd been in Chicago. Why? Why? Why
Okay.
is that the case?
Is
Sort
Michigan
of.
known for being more harsh than Chicago?
No, apparently more lenient. You know, in Chicago, though, these white people would have totally been thrown in jail, and it would have been locked away.
Right. That seems correct.
The doom of Damocles was taken off my head, and then he says Monica Seles goes into the witness protection program, and I was like, why? Her
Why?
husband is dead, and like, is it for Marconi? I'm confused. Why did that happen? Why are they in the witness protection
Unless
program?
we're
Do
just
you?
assuming that Victor had so many people that he had created enemies of that she
But
would
he
be in danger
says
from them.
Bob came home,
After he went
and
to a party at UIC, creep.
yeah, and he's such a creep. And then, what's her name?
Karen's in the hospital, but he dropped off flowers for her because he's a nice guy who cares about
And
women, and they need flowers.
Susan is going to go on another date with him
Yeah,
because
they
she,
went on another date and it went well. He read
yeah.
her article that she sent him that article that she put in the paper, and it was pretty good. It handled things
I do like that
nicely.
he is delivering pizza to Tutu. I did appreciate that.
I mean,
And
he's
you
got to have
know,
one good thing that he's doing. And as for
he's
him,
just gonna keep on working.
he's gonna keep
He's
on working.
just
Remember
Harry
that point when
Coppertone Black Statefield.
Coppertone? Remember that point when somebody's like, I think it might be the kids even that say, "Do you work with the cops?" And he's like, "I might as." He's like, "I yes, I do. I pretty much am a cop." That's almost what he says, and it's like, Harry,
No, you're not.
no.
No, you're not, Harry. Oh my gosh. Harry Coppertone Blackfield. No.
Harry Dresden, our king. But seriously, this is a cautionary. This book is a cautionary tale for
Don't
women.
be mean to Harry.
Don't ever not listen to Harry Dresden.
That's the end of the book, Laura.
It's a cautionary tale.
This is a cautionary tale. Yeah, I mean, it's a romp. This book is a romp.
Yes, total romp.
It's a feminist text. Maybe not.
We might have to think about
We'll talk about it next week when we discuss the characters and themes.
Yes, all the feminist themes.
All the feminist themes of Harry Coppertone Blackfield.
Oh.
Yeah, hopefully you guys have enjoyed this plot roundup of the last 3 weeks, because I've been having a great time.
And
You and
there's a lot
I,
more coming. We've got
there's
five
so
more
much
books to cover
coming.
this year.
Five more books, guys, just
Well,
this
first
year
we got to finish
alone.
up this book, and then we got five more in this year.
But while you're waiting, go over to ourpod.com and check out our reading schedule. We just released our next bonus episode, which is Talia Dutton is on the podcast to discuss her graphic novel, M is for Monster. That will be
So
after
cute.
we've finished discussing this feminist text. And then we move on to another feminist text. So
But
it's
like a
very
real one.
important
Oh,
stuff,
like a
but
real
like a
one,
real
though.
one. And it has great representation. And
Yes.
M
Like, that's
is
not a joke. That actually is.
queen. I freaking love M. I love her so much.
Yes.
She's adorable. And Laura caught something in the book that the author said no one had caught yet. So that was really
Yes, I
exciting.
am so proud of myself. But okay. Listen to the
But we
episode to
will
find out.
listen to the episode to find out, but definitely go get that and read it. It's at a lot of libraries. So make sure you're reading
Yes.
M is for Monster. It's a quick graphic novel and it's so cute. Please read it.
Yes, really, really cute. I love the art in that too.
Oh my gosh, it's such good art. So please make sure you're checking out our reading schedule because we do keep it up to date. And please make sure that you're following us on all social platforms at OWWRPod if you feel so inclined. Also, please throw a 5-star review our way or tell a friend about us. We have a lot of great stuff in the works and we'd love to have more people join. You can find us over on
Yes.
Discord where we're chit-chatting about rom-coms and other things.
Yeah,
And
even
you
just
can.
share with your friends, tell them to come join our Discord to hang out. That would be great.
We're tons of fun, we promise. And you know, just join us next week as we do a deeper dive into book one, Stormfront. Bye.
Bye.